Radio Daily for Not Monday, and that's a good thing. It's also a day in which you may or may not be hearing us on more than just one radio station. Maybe. I don't know. I'll have to look and ask that guy if he was serious, but we'll find that out. We? Who are we? Of course. Well, thanks for asking. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter, and the fact that we've been doing the same jokes for 10 years now, and you still love them, and we love you for that. The folks bringing the tea today, the man that made that scene at the party every weekend like he always does, that there is podcasting for Siegfried.
I know what you're thinking, and the answer is yes, I am available.
That's just not the way you greet people. You know, I've been told that I need to calm it down and not say this, but I'm going to say that I am the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Indeed it is. What happened this fine day, sir?
Well, that's all right, man. I can go ahead and help you out with some news. In 1870, Christmas is declared a federal holiday in the United States.
1894, Carl Benz of Germany is granted the first U.S. patent for a gasoline-driven automobile. Before that, they all ran on Lent.
Oh, mama, in 1896, the first movie theater in the U.S. opens. Admission costs 10 cents, man.
Oh, dear
Lord. It's crazy.
1948, William Shockley files the original patent for his Grown Junction Transistor, the first bipolar junction transistor. They have meds for that now.
1970, the FCC announces its plans to regulate the cable television industry. Most notably among the regulation is the ban on the three major broadcasting networks from entering the cable television market and a prohibition on the joint ownership of cable and broadcast television operations in the same community. Thank God that's still around.
Yeah, right. 1974, at 8:01 a.m., a universal product code, that's a UPC label, is used to ring up purchases at a supermarket for the first time. The first UPC ever scanned is on a package of Wrigley's chewing gum, which is purchased at the Mars supermarket and rung up by Sharon Buchanan in Troy, Ohio, and a movie was made out of it.
Hey, Flynn, are you down with UPC?
Yeah, you know me.
In 1976, the CN Tower, the tallest freestanding structure in the world, is opened.
1978, the world's first dedicated oceanographic satellite, CSAT-1, is launched. The satellite carries the first synthetic aperture radar, and its mission is to determine the feasibility of monitoring oceanographic phenomena. From orbit.
1983, Fisher-Price Toys announces that it has decided not to pursue plans to expand into the video game market.
No, come on, man. 1993, the final Navstar satellite is launched into orbit, completing the network of satellites known as the Global Positioning System. Your mom calls it GPS.
1994, Microsoft announces that it will no longer sell or support MS-DOS operating systems. Following the announcement, programmer Jim Hall posts a manifesto that proposes the development of an open-source DOS replacement, which on July 26, 1994, will be renamed to FreeDOS.
1996, the United States Senate Science, Technology, and Space Subcommittee broadcast a live audio feed of its proceedings over the internet. This is the first time proceedings of the U.S. Congress are broadcast via the internet. The topic of discussion is online commerce and encryption software, but they were really talking porn.
1997, filming begins on Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, the fourth film in the Star Wars saga. The majority of the film will be shot at Leavesden Film Studios in England. Filming, of course, will end on September 30th, and it will go on to be one of the most beloved movies in history.
In the case of Reno versus American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, the Supreme Court of the United States rules against the Communications Decency Act as part of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, a vote of 7-2. Now, they tried to ban sexually explicit material and pornography from the internet, and in his opinion, Justice Paul Stevens said that act is a violation of free speech, and then just proceeded to giggle his fool head off.
Same day, same year, Ericsson, Motorola, Nokia, and Unwired Planet enter into a partnership to create a common wireless applications protocol, or WAP.
You down with WAP?
Yeah, you know, Steve.
2000, United States President Bill Clinton and British Prime Minister Tony Blair, along with representatives of the Human Genome Project and Celera Genomics, publicly announced the completion of the preliminary draft of the DNA sequence of the human genome that represents about 95% of all genes. As we know, it's really only 10,000 lines of code and fits into a nice book in a sweet library in that hidden place in Westworld.
Wait, is that what that guy meant when he was talking about a binder full of women?
Anyway. Probably. Birthdays?
Ariana Grande, 25 years old, from Scream Queens, and two shows that I absolutely adored, Victorious and Sam and Cat. We don't mention her music career because at some point in time during that music career, she turned into a giant D-pad.
Jason Schwartzman is 38 from Rushmore, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, Scott Pilgrim, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Bored to Death, Blunt Talk, many other things, I'm sure.
Turning a very manly 48 years old, we have Nick Offerman. He's from The Men Who Stare at Goats, Season 2 of Fargo, and of course Parks and Rec. Coming up later next month is Making It, It's a show about making things.
Thought it was going to be a remake of that David Naughton song. Chris O'Donnell is 48 years old. That's Robin in Batman Forever, and of course Batman and Robin, and is part of the Dream Team on NCIS LA.
He was also in the Disney Three Musketeers as D'Artagnan.
Oh, yeah, I suppose we can mention that. It was fun, despite him.
Sean Hayes, 48 years old, from Will and Grace, Sean Saves the World, Monsters University, and Three Stooges, and he was actually pretty decent in that movie until he started sandbagging it after it was made.
Does it seem odd to you that Sean Hayes is the same age as Robin from Batman Forever? Kind of weird.
And Nick Offerman.
Mark McKinney is 59 years old from Kids in the Hall, SNL, Man Seeking Woman, Superstore. Oh my God, Nick Offerman could have been Robin. Holy rusty metal, Batman.
Well, it seems that they've got me tied into a three-quarter half knot. I think I can work my way out here. Chris Isaak, 62 years old, from Silence of the Lambs, Chester in Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. And that's the musician, right?
Yeah, yeah, and that one song that everybody knows.
It's a sexy song. He's 62, holy cow.
Getty Watanabe is 63 from 16 Candles, UHF, Gremlins 2, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Never mind, I'm not going to do my impression of him.
Automobile?
Born this day, no longer with us, 1694, George Brandt, or Jörgi Brandt, Swedish chemist and mineralogist who discovered cobalt. He was the first person to discover a metal unknown in ancient times.
I found this new thing. It must be from the gods.
Virgishku! On TV, we on CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS Bull. 48 Hours NCIS. Was that racist?
No, I don't think so. ABC, it's a rerun of The Middle. A rerun of The Middle. A rerun of Blackish. A rerun of Blackish, but a new The Last Defense.
NBC has a new America's Got Talent and World of Dance.
On Fox, it's Beat Shazam and Love Connection, not with Chuck Woolery.
Aw. CW has a rerun of The Flash and The 100.
Freeform, Pinstripe inspires Jane to try a new style of writing on The Bold Type. I'm sure those words mean something to someone.
AMC, The Dryden Commission, accompany Laura to the rail yard on a new Humans.
Animal Planet, South Pacific Terrors on a new River Monsters, Monster Journeys.
BET has the 2018 BETX Celebrity Basketball Game.
Basketball. FXX, Simpsons, Homer Scissorhands, 500 Keys, and The Nedliest Catch.
Oh, I can't scratch my butt right now. FXM has The Fault in Our Stars.
Aw. IFC has Halloween. Oh. Woo-hoo. No, it's the 2007 one.
All right. Okay. BBC America has Young Guns, followed by Going Out in a Blaze of Glory with Young Guns 2.
And you can see both of them if you just take that Mexican Blackbird trail. Sundance will be showing My Cousin Vinny with the two Utes.
Sci-Fi has a haunted hotel and a new face-off.
So they're going to make people's faces look like hotels? TNT will be showing Avengers Weekend of Ultron. I'm never going to let that go, ever.
That's what Staller and Waldorf should have looked like the hotels that they were named after. USA has a new WWE SmackDown, brother.
Over on WGN, it's the first blush on a new 100 code, but we're going to be setting the DVR for the Sci-Fi Channel because a young safety inspector visits a remote nuclear power plant in the desert in order to get it back online. But inside, she becomes concerned about two on-site employees questioning their sanity and perhaps even their identities. Dominic Monaghan, Sarah Hamill, and Tom Sizemore. Okay, he's the crazy guy who kills people. Star in Atomica.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Abby fears she's pregnant. See? A top three answer. Oh, but keeps it from Chad. But wait. Maybe she's not the mother. Maybe G. Abby is. Will admits to Paul he had a memory of Sonny. A hot, sweaty memory with a slow jazz soundtrack. Sonny tries to get Leo to confess. Admit you are a spineless coward being manipulated by stronger people. Kayla tells Stefan her theory about Kate. I believe she is a sociopath who develops obsessive relationships and believes Huey Lewis and the news are amazing, especially with Huey's bitter, cynical sense of humor. They really came into the home with sports. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Dear Geeks, first about my favorite episode. You can tell the rewards people that including the two little girls' voices for Geek News is attracting the next generation of fans, and not just those two girls. You know, Courtney's voice is actually doubled because her sister did. Now, thank you, Carol, for making sure I knew that Won't You Be My Neighbor isn't something only on cable that I can't afford to watch, but is instead a theatrical release I can barely afford but want to support anyway. I've put a lot of myself into the hundreds of comic strips I created for the VCU student newspaper, the Commonwealth Times. They're all on the site, and the first 100 or so are on my own site, which has solid navigation but inconsistent and awkward layout. Been there, brother. Because back then I only knew some HTML 2.0. Here's the site link in case you want to investigate me, which will be in the show notes over there at geekradiodaily.com. Sorry if I'm only making you feel tired or worse. I won't become a pest, won't annoy you with unwanted messages. I'm often slow to get the message because I'm actually on the short bus for a variety of reasons, all from the neck up, including mild autism. But I'm told on good professional authority that I'm usually good at listening to correction and making changes, including not staying around where I'm not wanted. And that is from Bill. Well, Bill, what are you talking about? Not wanted? I mean, we tell people every day to send a note, and pretty much every day you do. So what are you doing wrong?
Exactly. And we appreciate you. Trust me, as somebody who's on the Asperger scale, I understand how it feels a little weird sometimes. But no, we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming in. And don't worry, if you ever accidentally cross a line, we'll let you know. Not on the air, just in an email.
You said Asperger's.
If you've got a note that you'd like to drop and you want to be one of our continual stalkers, please drop that to podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always send a voicemail to 510-GRD-CREW. Either way, it gets to us, and that's what we'd like you to do.
Yep.
There. After 5 long years, my latest invention is complete. Surely it will revolutionize personal transportation for decades to come. Hey, who let you in here? Get away from there. You stupid simian sociopath! Don't touch that! Monkeys took my jetpack!
Monkeys took my jetpack at mtmjetpack.com.
Hi, this is Brad Dourif, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are, and welcome back to it. Not Monday is a very special day because you keep getting to buy discs that are already just antiquated and dead.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but you do. And what are we gonna add to the collection so people can later go, oh my God, why do you still have these?
Well, from our television department, we've got Black Lightning Season 1. I've got chills. They're multiplying.
The Heart Guy Season 2. He's a guy with a heart.
I can follow up to The Cable Guy. The Last Post, Season 1.
Big Hero 6, the series, which I'm guessing is just the whole thing.
Clockwork Planet, the complete series. I imagine it's when the Droogies take over.
Must be anime based on title alone. Hunter x Hunter, or Hunter times Hunter. I don't know how to read that.
Yeah, I think the answer is Hunter Squared.
Ah.
From our re-release department, we've got the Ultimate Puppet Master Collection, and it includes a collectible trunk, so you can have all of them on Blu-ray.
And you can get the Mission Impossible film collection until the new one comes out, then you got to buy the entire collection all over again. Sucker!
Yeah, the covers aren't going to match, man. So from the could-be pornography section, we have Madam
German Angst.
Yeah, it'd be so angsty. And then we also have two friends. Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass, and other trailblazing tales. Could be porn.
From the looks awesome, but you've probably never heard of it department, we have Hell House LLC, because you got to protect yourself when you're doing these things.
Oh, yeah, as a hunter, I really want to see that one. From the movies theatrically released, we've got Terminal.
Tyler Perry's Acrimony.
The China Salesman. Dude, that stars Steven Seagal and Mike Tyson. Come on. It's going to be unintelligible.
Escape Plan 2. Hades, answering all the burning questions, see what I did there, from Escape Plan.
That one's got Sylvester Stallone and Batista, because why not? We've also got Spinning Man.
Oh, I'm getting dizzy. Gemini. I don't know if it's the Gemini Killer, but watch it and find out.
We have Endless, which means that there'll never be a sequel.
What's this is actually the prequel to Endless Love. Escape of Prisoner 614, or 614, or if you add those numbers up, it's 11. Ooh, that means something. But we're getting the story of Ted and his beloved cat who dies, which causes a mental breakdown in him. Now he believes the only way to bring back his pet is taking the lives of 9 humans. So Ted, of course, dons a vicious, deadly cat claw glove and a creepy cat mask and goes on a murderous rampage. Matthew C. Vaughn and Meg Spencer star in Cat Sick Blues.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view. Following the disappointing performance of Solo: A Star Wars Story at the box office, because someone really thought a heist flick was going to do like Last Jedi numbers? Come on. Lucasfilm had to debunk rumors that it had put a hold on all Star Wars standalone movies. So sorry we told you that, apparently it's not true. One of the most talked about ones, the Obi-Wan Kenobi Solo project, is now being rumored to still be in development. But wait for it. Over at Disney's streaming service.
Well played, Clux.
That's a good way to take a jab at Netflix. Launch your service with a new Star Wars movie, Star Wars Story. For a while, Ewan McGregor hinted he'd love to reprise the role because that would be kind of awesome. The movie is allegedly set between, you know, Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. It was supposed to start shooting next year in Northern Ireland. Who knows? Recently, a Mos Eisley flick about a seedy underbelly in the Star Wars universe, as well as the Boba Fett spinoff from Logan director James Mangold, those had the brakes put on them too, or could still come here. Who the hell knows? Look, Solo failed to bring in the big bucks. Big bucks by studio expectation definition. Solo was fine. It was a fun ride. But yeah, it would have done a lot better if it was called Scoundrels. I'm not letting that go either, man.
Nor should you. Filmmaker Terry Gilliam's The Man Who Killed Don Quixote still lives. A few days ago, word came that the Paris Court of Appeal had ruled in former producer Paul Bigot's favor in the drawn-out legal battle between him and Gilliam, which, of course, we reported on. Now, it seems we told you another falsehood because it's not true that Gilliam lost the film's rights. Gilliam's current producer, Morelia Busivieski, that the filmmaker's production company retains the film's rights, and the report saying Bronco had won was merely a case of Bronco overstating his victory. It was an honest mistake for us to make. Terry Gilliam has been so plagued with things trying to release this movie, and so did Orson Welles before him. Reportedly, no frame of the film was shot under the contract between Gilliam and Bronco, and thus Bronco doesn't have any claim to the movie rights. However, since Gilliam didn't properly terminate his contract with Bronco per French law, he will still have to pay Alfama at least $11,600 in damages. Once Gilliam has paid said damages, the legal issues are over and a distributor needs to be secured, with plans currently being made for European territories. And U.S. distribution is on the way shortly, with many options reportedly in hand. Bets have been placed if this thing ever gets out. Right. But this is very good news, as Gilliam has been working towards this moment his entire life. Just watch any of his older movies. You can see the seeds being dropped. But it looked bad last week. But it seems Don Quixote is not getting on the cart. He feels happy, and he thinks he'll go for a walk now.
Chucky. He's one of those characters from the classic slasher film era that will probably never, ever go away. We first saw him, oh my God, 30 years ago in 1988's Child's Play, whose ad campaign spoiled everything about that movie. It was directed and co-written by Tom Holland, produced by David Kirshner, not Koechner, totally different guy, from a story by Don Mancini. Seven films later, we have word that Mancini's Twitter page about what's next from Chucky. He's got a tweet up that's got a little video that shows a logo for a Child's Play TV series. The series would be an 8-part, hour-long series that will stick with Chucky's canon. Mancini said they deliberately set up the end of the last movie, Cult of Chucky. He also confirmed that Brad Dourif would return once again as the voice of Chucky. Otherwise, what the hell is the point? As far as the tone of the show, he says, we want to definitely signal that we're going for a dark, darker than ever before. It's going to be very creepy. Other than that, there have been no other details revealed whatsoever. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see, is this what's going to happen with this? It's also weird that it's called Child's Play, since MGM owns that name, which is why most of the recent flicks are just Chucky movies. You know, Child's Play had a rather interesting comic in the early 90s as well, and if the show could step into that kind of insanity, it could be a very cool ride. Now, though, give me a Chucky versus Demonic Toys movie featuring a surprise cameo by Jack Death. And Dollman, if you're up for it.
Wait, isn't Jack Death Dollman?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. And I was like, wait a second, that's Tim Thomerson also.
Two times the Thomerson, that makes your shit even better.
Yeah. Speaking of shit being even better, a total lunar eclipse, the second this year, will occur on July 27th as the moon passes through the center of Earth's shadow for the first time in 7 years. While neither super nor blue, next month's blood micromoon eclipse will be the longest of the 21st century, lasting approximately 103 minutes. Guess what, America? We don't get it. The eclipse is primarily visible from the Eastern Hemisphere, Africa, Asia, Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. North America, well, we're going to be sitting this one out. Kind of makes you wish you had appreciated January's super blue blood moon confluence of three events, our satellite orbiting the closest distance to our planet, the supermoon, the second full moon of the month, the blue moon, and the crimson hue that occurs during a total lunar eclipse, the blood moon. Now, folks in the Middle East, South Africa, and floating in the Indian Ocean will have front row seats to the micro blood moon eclipse. A lunar eclipse occurs, of course, when the moon passes within Earth's umbra or shadow, which appears to cover part of the orb, turning it a deep shade of red. That coloring, due to Rayleigh's scattering, is the same effect that gives sunsets their beautiful complexion. Now, unlike the January event when the planetoid was circling quite near us, on the day of this eclipse, the full moon is at its furthest from Earth, appearing smaller in the sky and taking on the micro title. Certainly the star of the show, next month's total lunar eclipse is joined by an opening act. Mars is expected to be very close to the eclipsed moon on July 27th and 28th, making it easy to see with the naked eye, weather permitting. An eclipse never travels alone, though. The lunar event is sandwiched between two partial solar eclipses on July 13th and August 11th. Now book an Airbnb and go witness an event that proves space happens everywhere. Not just for America. But soon Space Force will launch and all of space will be claimed in the name of America. Would you like to know more?
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Super Hot Dog Delivery Guy. Oscar Mayer is once again expanding its wiener fleet, this time adding the world's first ever jetpack-powered, high-flying hot dog hero. Wearing the company's classic ketchup and mustard color scheme, Super Hot Dogger and their aerodynamic frankfurters defy gravity to bring the people what they really want, cooked sausages in a sliced bun. Since overhauling its recipe last year, promising to remove all added nitrates and just regular old nitrates, byproducts, artificial preservatives, the meat makers found fresh ways to deliver food to hungry folks around the country. Last year, they put in two new vehicles, the Wiener Cycle, a three-wheeled moped with a sidecar that doubles as a warming station to travel on land, and an unmanned Wiener drone aircraft designed for remote location drop-offs, which really makes me yearn for a gritty Wiener Core series about preserving hot dog superiority in a bleak urban landscape. There is no word on the technology behind the flying hero, apparently now delivering new pork and chicken hot dogs. Where, when, or how? It's a mystery. And where the hell are the beef ones? I want a beef hot dog jetted to my mouth. God, out of context, that sounds horrible. Much like the aerial wiener drones, which seems practical only if you're stranded in the woods or starving on a desert island, it's unclear why anyone would call a man in a sausage-colored jumpsuit and rocket pack. Oscar Mayer is giving a year's supply of free hot dogs, delivered somewhat disappointingly by the Wienermobile, to fans who share a photo of how they top their frankfurters. So you can check the shows and go visit that stupid thing. Thankfully, though, they did go with the jetpack. Although PV ain't gonna like it. But let's face it, if they had made the Wienermobile fly, they would have really messed with some radar operators. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 93.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily. And hey, seriously, send us some info. We've got to send this thing in for the parsecs, like what, Friday, I think it is?
Yeah.
So if send your favorite episodes and we'll hack and slash and cut some junk up together and mail it off. Because again, we're not your award-non-winning podcast without you. So drop that note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or send a voicemail to 510-GRD-CREW and let's not win another award together.
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
That was lame.
Good night, suckers.
You are all weirdos.
Scat. Skedaddle. Adios. Arrivederci. Ciao. Aloha. Fuck off.
Colonel, you better take a look at this radar.
What is it, son?
I don't know, sir. But it looks like a giant dick.
Yeah.
Take a look out of starboard.
Oh, my God. It looks like a huge...
Pecker!
Oh, there.
Wait. That's not a word. Pecker, it looks like someone's...
Privates! We have reports of an unidentified flying object. It is a long, smooth shaft, complete with two balls.
What is that? That looks just like an enormous wing. Pay attention.
I was distracted by that enormous flying...
Really? Yeah. What's that?
Well, it looks like a giant...
Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Get on the horn to British intelligence and let them know about this.
Did we get Dr. E?
No, sir. He got away in that rocket that looks like a huge...
penis. The male reproductive organ, also known as tallywhacker, schlong, or...
wiener? Any of you kids want another wiener?
Dad, what's that?
I don't know, son, but it's got great, big.
Nuts! Hot, salty nuts! Who wants them? Lord Almighty!
That looks just like my husband's.
One-eyed monster! Step right up and see the one-eyed monster!
Ah!